So we're pleased to be able to check back in with Mike Festa, the Massachusetts Director of AARP, for another update, and particularly this time, Mike, to talk about the situation at the state's nursing homes. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you, Joe, and I very much appreciate, and AARP appreciates, the opportunity to talk about one of the most critical issues that are facing us as part of this pandemic, and that is the situation with nursing homes, the deaths in nursing homes in particular. As you know, Joe, and many of your listeners and watchers know, Massachusetts has been particularly hard hit. As we do this program today, the number is now exceeding 5,000 deaths in skilled nursing facilities just in Massachusetts of the approximately 8,000 people who have died. So we're well in excess of 50% of people who have died from COVID-19 in Massachusetts being in these facilities. And AARP nationally is on a mission, as we have for quite a while now, to really bring attention to this problem, both at the federal level with regard to the Congress and action they can take. Things like transparency. I mean, right off the bat, part of the challenge has been that a lot of folks are not aware, in particular facilities, what the circumstances are on the ground. Loved ones are very concerned. There are, in some cases, the inability to have the direct contact through Zoom or some other technological feature. Now, I want to say it's certainly improving rapidly. I want to give a lot of credit to those facilities who have addressed this particular challenge, because in part, we are dealing with a big picture of isolation as well. So you sort of think about the situation with regard to folks in skilled nursing facilities. These are environments where the contact with the outside world is inherently limited. With the pandemic, it's exacerbated that in the extreme. And so what we have been doing at AARP at the federal level is making sure that the Congress is putting as much impetus behind the states, both in terms of the financial support. PPEs are still an ongoing challenge. There are pockets of places where the personal protective equipment isn't where it should be. In terms of the immediate need, but also, as we know, again, we're talking at a moment in time when there is, I wouldn't even call it a resurgence. I would say that in southern states, in particular in California and a few other folks in the West, we are seeing a large uptick in the spread of the coronavirus. And there are more younger people. And of course, we always remind folks that it's a blessing that younger people are generally less affected to the extreme extent of a death or serious illness, but we know there are some that have died from it. And more to the point, they are hopefully seeing their grandparents, hopefully seeing their parents and regularly. And so when they're out doing what they're doing, they can always bring that into the home environment. So that's a piece of it. But I want to end at least this first point to say that the circumstances we're finding ourselves in right now really demand both federal and state agencies of government in particular to not fiddle and diddle anymore. I mean, we have waited 4 months for some action around nursing home, particularly nursing home, addressing the issues of transparency of the PPEs, the personal protective equipment. And I hope we have a chance and some time to talk about the Massachusetts experience, which we have spent quite a bit of time lobbying, and we were successful in lobbying recently for legislation that expanded the reporting requirements of DPH regarding where the deaths are occurring, location, et cetera, et cetera. But guess what? They haven't fully implemented it. And so we're actually seeing, although the law is in place, the ramp-up period it's taking to actually get that information out to the general public is a concern. So we're talking about that too.
So, Mike, do you feel, Mike, that the problem is there aren't enough regulations in place to enforce things like requiring PPE, like requiring social distancing, or that there are enough regulations, but they're just not being implemented?
Well, that's an excellent question, Joe. And I want to answer by making a couple of observations. First of all, there's statistics I've seen recently that say about 80% of nursing homes around the country have some deficiencies with regard to these kinds of issues. And this is before the pandemic. We're talking about not social distancing, but, you know, the use of PPEs, the, you know, the support of adequate staffing levels and things of that nature. Now with the pandemic, we're seeing all of the, frankly, the underbelly, the soft underbelly of that system. So I would say it's about enforcement. I mean, think about what happened in this state, what we're talking about now, every single day, appropriately, what happened at the Holyoke Soldiers Home and what happened in Chelsea. The Holyoke situation in particular is outrageous, and everybody that's been affected by it, the veterans themselves and their families, but also the general, you know, sort of the government's reaction to this has been horrifying. I mean, I said they're horrified, and yet you ask the question, so what went wrong? And it looks like as this investigation's unfolding, at least the first one that was done by the Baker administration through an independent investigator, was that there was a significant breakdown in the chain of command with regard to enforcement of the common sense and medically necessary actions that should have been taken. And then you have somebody running the facility who's not a nursing home administrator. You know, this is a prescription for disaster. So to answer your question directly, laws are very critical. Regulations are very critical, but they are only the framework for the actual effects to be found, the positive effects that one wants for those laws and regulations. If they're not implemented properly, if they're not, the regulations are not enforced properly, if the money necessary to address the underlying challenges around, say, not having adequate personal protection equipment, or not having adequate staffing levels, which is another issue that we saw in the soldiers' homes, but also, again, we're seeing this all across the country. Now, if you think about, I'm sure people watching are saying, oh yeah, I realize too, by the way, that, you know, there's a percentage of people no longer working in the last 3 months because of the pandemic. They are choosing, in some cases, not to go back to nursing facilities or home healthcare agencies, either because they're worried personally themselves about their, you know, exposure, or frankly, they're worried that they're going to expose the residents. So it's having a cascading effect. And the bottom line is AARP feels that it, particularly at this moment in time, we need to raise public awareness to the point where action, they insist that their elected officials take serious action. And that includes the allocation of resources to the states right now, which is another unaddressed issue, which is really looming as we are entering the beginning of the summer.
You bring up an excellent point, I think, about staffing levels, and in particular, the background and the training of that staff. You know, and they're called nursing homes, but there are not all nurses, right?
No. Staff. I mean, let me just make this clear. AARP respects and supports in the continuum of care the important, you know, the frankly, the importance in that continuum of care of a skilled nursing facility. There are some folks who are, and there are a limited number, let's make that clear as well, but there are some folks who genuinely are best able to be dealt with in terms of their acute medical condition and other challenges, perhaps advanced dementia or Alzheimer's. And so we respect and want to support those facilities. But we also, I have to say, have been spending a lot of time over many, many years trying to move resources away from what we call those restricted settings and getting the money into the community through home and community-based care. So that is, frankly, you know, the most effort we're making in terms of changing what it looks like for an older person, even those who have acute medical and mental conditions that can be served in a home setting,
yeah,
or a less restricted setting.
So stay in their home, right?
Well, that's exactly right. But we recognize that some folks are in that place where they can't. And so here's the point about skilled nursing facilities. They are, because are required by regulation to have a medical model set up so that you have nurses, you have access to doctors, you have access to paraprofessionals who are trained in the nature of these services. But then you also have our CNAs. These are they're angels who do the toughest jobs and get, frankly, very little pay for it. They're in the crosshairs as well, and we thank each and every one of them, both those in skilled nursing facilities, but also the ones in the home care program, that notwithstanding the challenges are going out there and paying attention to our mothers and grandmothers and, you know, folks that we love in their homes and wherever they go. So we give them that shout out. But training wise, you know, look, we know, and this is a long-term question that we can always talk about in another show, the number of people who are available in home and community-based care for direct care workers is a shrinking population. And as baby boomers are impacting the system in every way, you know, whether it's home care or advanced medical conditions, we do worry as an organization. We're constantly talking about how do we give incentives for people to become those CNAs and do God's work and do those challenging jobs. We do not pay them well. We advocate regularly in the legislature for increases in working conditions and salaries, and it's part of our, you know, sort of ongoing. But we're here to talk about the pandemic, and I do want to tell you that all across the country, as I speak, there are state directors like myself and other advocates who are talking to the media and going through those, you know, sort of making it clear that what AARP feels is really critical right now is for the Congress to act and to bring those resources to bear to the states, to insist on transparency, to insist on the ability of loved ones to have contact with and be aware of and engage with those residents who are in these skilled nursing facilities. So there's a lot to be done. And in Massachusetts, as I say, it's an incomplete picture, and it's a scary situation, because once that COVID-19 gets into a facility, as we well know, that restricted environment can be, not always, but can be a breeding ground for the spread of COVID-19. So there's a lot we've already learned in Massachusetts. The blessing is the numbers are going down, but we know that, you know, just think about it. By the end of the summer, we're going to have a lot of college kids coming back to Boston area, Massachusetts. How many of them are going to be bringing back where they may be living in the other parts of the country where the coronavirus is spreading exponentially? We don't know. So we are very much in the crosshairs as we plan for the summer and the fall and for the foreseeable future until there is a vaccine.
Yeah. Do you have any insight, Mike, into how other countries, nursing homes in other countries, are coping with this current situation?
Joe, I will just say I'm not confident to answer that question. Okay. I truly have not. I mean, I realize, by the way, that I watch CNN in the background all the time, and I see the numbers, and we're at now 10 million around the world with COVID-19, 500,000 deaths. We're at 25% of that number in both cases. And we do know enough to know that some countries got ahead of that early. Some countries like Italy and Spain and France and Britain got caught up in an inadequate healthcare response. But they've certainly gone to a better place than we have. And then you have places like New Zealand where, you know, they count in one hand or two hands the number of people who've been affected. So clearly other places are doing it better. And we are an outlier, sadly, as Massachusetts is. We're still ranked, I believe, fourth in the country for the actual number of deaths from COVID-19. So, you know, we haven't covered ourselves in glory, but I do give due credit to the administration, the Baker administration, for in many ways trying to wrestle with, you know, an extraordinary confluence of challenges. But we still ask the administration to implement the law that just got passed to be sure that there's full transparency. That is a remaining challenge to be addressed.
How can AARP assist family members who have folks, you know, in skilled nursing homes right now?
Well, I will say right off the bat, anytime you as a listener, somebody watching the show, are interested in finding out what AARP can do for you in this area in particular, you just go on AARP.org/coronavirus or go to any other subjects that might be of interest to you on our website, and you will be directed to really extraordinary resources. That's also true in the Massachusetts State Office. You go to AARP.org, but then you put /MA, mm-hmm. so that'll get you to the Massachusetts page. And we have a lot of resources for folks. And frankly, we are encouraging our members to contact their legislators and to contact the Governor Baker and his administration to encourage them to keep in the forefront this critical question of the safety of those living in those skilled nursing facilities and assisted living, as well as elder housing in general, so that we know what's happening in those places and the right equipment and the right resources are available, so that we don't have in the long run more of these, frankly, more of this crisis being extended. We are on the right side of the curve at the moment, but there's definitely more to be done. And AARP has always been a source. I think we are doing a good job of providing information and direct responses and opportunities for you to share in whatever they want. And we also have a toll-free number. Now, I'm at a loss to tell you it right off the bat. I should have it ingrained in my mind. But I will say that if you go on the website, AARP.org, you certainly will get all kinds of information. And you're welcome, by the way, to call. In Massachusetts, there's a really good information site, phone call. It's called 1-800-AGE-INFO. AGEINFO. Okay. You dial that number, that connects to the home care system and the Executive Office of Elder Affairs, and that they have information about everything that affects seniors, 50 plus folks in the state. So that's always a good number to call if you're not interested in going on the website.
Okay. Is that the ultimate office that's responsible for implementing these regulations at nursing?
Well, that's a good point, Joe. I have to say, I'm a former Secretary of Elder Affairs, and I am candidly concerned that there is the Secretary of Elder Affairs has only a partial role here. And in the old days, there was an opportunity to be the lead on long-term care, the use of the monies for long-term care. That's now been separated and put under more directly under Health and Human Services. Of course, you have with Veterans Affairs another secretariat that is also reporting to Health and Human Services. Without getting into the weeds, I will say this. There are the Executive Office of Elder Affairs doing a yeoman's job with limited resources to address a number of matters. But the buck stops with the administration generally and the Health and Human Services Secretariat and the Department of Public Health in particular when it comes to regulating nursing homes and providing that kind of direct engagement of enforcement. Executive Office of Elder Affairs is more tangential to that enforcement mechanism, but they are most assuredly an excellent resource. And frankly, they are the ones that manage the home and community-based system through the state budget. So they do a lot of good. We work obviously very closely with them. In fact, I was on the phone this morning. We talk every Friday morning with Robin Lipson, who's the Deputy Secretary of Elder Affairs and a great advocate for nursing home residents and seniors in general. So we've got a lot of good working relationships, but suffice to say, this is not a perfect situation. We need to be on our best game.
At what point, Mike, do you think a nursing home should be shut down?
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward. A nursing home should not be operating if they are getting deficiency ratings from the Department of Public Works. Department of Public Health. Mm-hmm. I've got Public Works on my mind for a whole different reason. Mm-hmm. But suffice to say, Public Health, there is a very strong regulatory scheme that is supposed to, get right into that question. But I don't think there's any doubt that there are nursing homes on the spectrum of nursing homes that are, because they're under-resourced, and in some cases they are, and I'm not saying national chains are bad, inherently bad, but we are seeing elements of genuine concern about where the priorities are being placed and where the cost centers are being allocated, reallocated, or misallocated, so that the net result is, as we have seen in a number of places in this state and around, certainly around the country, of inadequate care. And those places, you can't full right. You shut them down, certainly immediately, if this is a present danger. You may allow them to be recertified if the sufficiencies can be addressed suitably. But we are seeing a sea change in the industry. And those good administrators, and there are a number of good nursing homes in this state, I certainly want to make that clear.
Yeah.
But they are also challenged by, lack of resources, and in some cases, obviously the pandemic has made the weaknesses look worse, and they have become worse, and those who are doing it well are able to manage, and we applaud them for doing what they can under very difficult circumstances. It reminds me, however, of a very important point I want to make, Joe. AARP is very concerned about another issue that's out there: liability for negligence.
You're
gross negligence.
You're knocking on my next question. Yes.
Well, oh my God, I haven't seen this script, but let's just say we're on the same page here, because here's the simple truth.
Yeah.
The national government and the state of Massachusetts have put into place changes in the law as a result of COVID-19 that have attempted to protect skilled nursing facilities from lawsuits, liability, et cetera. We think this is a bad idea. We really believe that in the end, if you are a good nursing home provider, if you're doing your job and you are following CDC guidelines and you are doing the things that reasonable people would conclude, say a jury, that they were not negligent, then let's let that process play itself out. But to give a blanket, protection, umbrella to, frankly, for the bad ones, it's going to be almost a signal that they can go under that radar and they can do so without consequence. This is a very dangerous thing. We are asking the Baker administration not to enforce that law and to support changing that law. We have sent letters, both the administration and to the legislature, to repeal that section. This is also happening at the federal level as well. That's a big concern, honestly. And, I'm a lawyer. I've been a lawyer 40 years. And I'm going to tell you something. I understand why people, on both sides of that question get nervous.
Yeah.
But in the end, this is about ensuring that people are protected from negligence, from gross negligence. And if you have a system in place that insulates those bad actors, then the consequence of that is dire, and there is no remedy. And that's what we worry about. People who have been harmed should have a remedy in a court and legal process.
Let me take it one step further then, Mike, and ask you, should there be criminal charges, for folks who do not adhere?
Well, now you're really going in my way back machine. I used to be a prosecutor in Middlesex County, so I know about that. But here's the point. I mean, criminal penalties are always in play when you are dealing with those circumstances where the law essentially makes it criminal to act in a way which causes death or injury. There are very creative ways, frankly, the criminal law can apply in egregious conduct. But we're actually talking in the typical negligence situation.
Yes.
A good example, I'm a nursing home administrator and I forget or decide it's not important to order enough personal protective equipment for my staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's negligence. That's mm-hmm. negligence in a gross way if you're doing it over a number of weeks when people are dying or people are put in harm's way. And because knowledge is out there that clearly is something you should have done. So there are ways that negligence can be directly, causing harm. And again, we worry that liability protection should not go to the extent of insulating people who are bad actors or committing negligence or gross negligence from not being held accountable.
Okay.
Pure and simple.
Final message you'd like to leave with us today, Mike?
Well, to you, Joe, personally, thank you for giving me this opportunity and AARP an opportunity. For those who are watching, stay safe, use common sense. This is about recognizing that we're in this for, sadly, a long period of time, and we have to keep our guard up. And at AARP, we are here to help you, support you, answer your questions, engage with you in advocacy, if that's your interest. But in any event, we are right now facing a serious crisis when it comes to deaths and spread of COVID-19 in nursing homes and skilled facilities in general, assisted living as well. And we need to stay on top of that. So that's our primary message. Congress needs to act. The legislature and the governor in Massachusetts need to stay on top of this as a high priority because people's lives are at stake.
Okay, and folks, private citizens can help by encouraging them to do that?
Absolutely. Well, look, again, you know, if you want to just start at your convenience, AARP.org, go right to COVID, coronavirus, you know, there's a number of places where you can acquire information. Go to the website and go AARP.org/MA, and that'll get you right to the Massachusetts office and all the things we're doing. So if you have an interest in engaging, or frankly, just an interest in getting more information, there are plenty of resources. AARP likes to be thought of, certainly for people 50 plus, as your voice and as a fierce advocate for people in these situations in particular.
All right. Great to talk to you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Always great to talk to you, Joe. Stay safe and have a great weekend and a great summer.
Thank you. The same to you.
All right, Ben. Thank you.